Hello, welcome to the Mac Show. Yes, we're here to discuss all things Mac. What an exciting week it's been. And we all bigged up Nintendo, thinking they were taking the right path last week by going onto iOS with all of the games. And then, lo and behold, they released the Switch today, which is no one's ever going to buy. Never mind, eh? We'll see.
That's not the way my Twitter stream looks.
Yeah, but those are just the fanboys, mate. After that, there's no one's buying that. My son's not buying that. He's not interested in that in the slightest.
Oh, no.
Not for one second. But there we go. That's Adam. Hello, Adam.
Hey, how you doing? I'm jumping in early.
That's good, mate. You all right?
I'm good. I'm cooking up your crow over here.
Yeah, no. So you called it. You said that there was going to be an Apple event in October. And last week, you actually said, I may have got that wrong.
Right.
But lo and behold, 27th.
I said if they did, the rumor was it was going to be the 27th, I think.
Yeah.
If I'm not mistaken in it, and I'm sure we'll get into it later.
We'll get into it. We'll do the psychoanalyst analysis of the invitation.
Oh God,
screwed up as it is. Next to him, laughing away there, it's Doc.
I like the psychoanalyst. It's about right though in our group. Hi, how's it going, everyone?
It's all right, mate. It's okay. We've got Hoyer in the room. They've come to see us. This is John and Mark from Hoyer. We've got all of John and half of Mark. Because Mark's grown, it looks. We got Mark's chesticles now.
You need shorter stools.
Why did you sit on his lap, Mark?
There he goes.
You're like a ventriloquist dummy. Got the gear.
is it a prerequisite to be bespectacled in order to work at Hoyer?
Yes.
Yes. He hasn't got a prescription of those. They're just... Have you got a prescription of those?
Absolutely.
Yeah, you're over 40. Of course you have.
You know, earlier in the pre, somebody made this wise comment about Hoyer being from Japan. Hoyer's a city in Japan, you ding-dongs. Whoever said that.
Oh, really?
That,
so
that's where the name came from.
No, I think the comment, no, hang on. Before we upset the sponsors, Jesus Christ. I think the comment was made that it was a Japanese firm.
Yeah, but we're cool.
Well, no, it's because it's named out. It's like having a city, a firm called Birmingham. It makes logical sense because now it's called West Tokyo or Nishi Tokyo. But before they came up with the easier name for it, it was called Hoyer Tokyo. It was actually a place.
Cool. Good to know. I'll remember that for the pub quiz.
It only changed the name in like 2001 or 2002, something like that.
Okay. Good to know.
You could ask your new girlfriend in your special machine.
Who's this, Alexa?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, we could ask Alexa if she knows that, because I don't think she does. Because we asked her a fairly simple question earlier on. She said, let me think about that. I'll send you some links in the app. Never mind. Right, so here we go then. Ken Ray might join us during the show. He did accept the invitation, but I think we might have a time zone difference, so he might dial in for the cool things. So as Adam correctly pointed out, there is an October event coming for MacBooks, allegedly. Here's the invitation.
Yeah.
Go on then, Adam. You start us off, mate.
Well, I don't want to be the person who's doing the cycle analysis or whatever we're calling it. But, I was just going to say, it is interesting that they put the hello again on there. I mean, that kind of indicates some sort of Mac event. That what it leaves open to interpretation is how big a Mac event. Like we know, like MacBook Pros are probably a given, but the question becomes, and did we talk about this last week or did I talk about it on my show, where there's a lot of Macs that are kind of long in the tooth at this point. So are we going to get a whole new lineup of desktops and notebooks, or is this just the one Mac, I guess becomes the question.
Well, we had a conversation somewhere in the neighborhood of like one of the Macs is like 410 days and one was like 380 some odd. And so they're relatively long in the tooth. But it's funny. They always tell you try not to read into the graphics, but then they always put something in the graphics that kind of forces people to want to read into it. So at first, I would only be like, yeah, it just looks very Halloween-y. They're keeping up with the season. And there's nothing to really see in it other than this nebulous thing has something to do with another cloud service, maybe?
Oh, yeah, that's a cloud. I looked at, that looks like paint to me, dry paint. Or, or powder paint. Or powder coats or something like that.
It's just a style they've been using for like the past several keynotes. Again, I think...
Well, you see, Adam, you see what you just did? Everyone says that. It's just a style. And then other people will say something that sounds weird, but if you look at it, your brain will wrap around what they said. Yeah. Look, all of those circles mean this. And then sure as grits and groceries, something comes out.
The point is that the words are usually, if you go back and look at the last few keynotes, the wording, whatever the wording on there, typically is more the hint than anything else. And again, that's why I think the hello again. Somebody was pointing out the last time they used hello again was the introduction, I think, of the iMac, the original Bondi iMac.
Yes.
Well, now, it's interesting you say that because Ian Lewis in the Slack room has suggested he wants his finally wants his tangerine iMac because that's what's coming.
Dude, if they had anodized metal versions of these silver joints, oh my god, I'd probably be there, especially if it was orange.
Are you gonna get? You're gonna get a brushed aluminium anodized kind of orange finish on the, Johnny. Johnny's sitting there pulling his hair out at the moment, going, "Just steel, just aluminium."
It's not. You guys say that funny. It's funny you guys say that. It has been rumored, and I wouldn't put it out of the realm of possibility that they color match iPhones in terms of iMac colors. So doing a silver and a black and a...
I know a bunch of shops that would rock the rose gold or gold iMacs in their shops, you know, especially some of the more boutique-y type things or whatever.
Come on, man.
I don't
gold
think
iMac's
do it,
got like Saddam's bog written all over it.
No, I got it, Ewan, but I live in a tourist destination, and if you go to Waikiki and you see the amount of like jewelry shops in order to sucker chaps who are here on vacation with the wife, and it's the first time she let him sneak it. Never mind. She let him do that position that he wanted to from college because they're on vacation, and now he got to buy her something. And one of my friends works in one of those stores.
And a gold-plated iMac's going to fix that. A rose gold iMac's going to fix that.
No, but I'm just saying that the people are weird now about the crazy things that we say crazy that they dump money on. I mean, remember when we were growing up, sneakers came in white, blue, and black. And then now they come in every color in the rainbow, and you got chaps out there who drop $300 a piece on every color of whatever thing says Jordan on the back. Like, don't put it past people to spend money on crazy things. Women do the same thing with purses. You know, it's kind of crazy what people do for quote-unquote individuality of something that sells by the millions.
But to be fair, Doc, when you and I were born, the world was still black and white anyway.
True that.
Yeah. We're old.
Yeah, but surely nobody's going to see the back of an iMac, are they?
In a retail environment, a lot of people see the back of them, but yeah, I agree.
It sounds like the audience are going to jump in here.
If you have an iMac, the back of it's against the wall and nobody sees it. It's in somebody's office.
Oh, no, I don't.
Why would they make it a different color?
Maybe. Well, my customer's going to see the back of both of my iMacs just because of the way my office is set up.
It looks good on screen in the movies, too.
I think a lot of people...
I suppose in an office where they're in line, but a company wouldn't spend that just because it's a different color, like an individual would.
Yeah, they would. Oh, cool.
Yeah, but see, you're saying companies as in like a business company. Every person sitting right here is a company, with the exception of those two dudes that work at Hoyer. But like, I'm my own company, Matt Cass is his own company, Ewan is his own company. So there are companies that would do such a thing. And it's funny because if we had this conversation 2 years ago about MacBooks, everybody would be like, oh, that's crazy. And you see gold MacBooks all over the place.
Yeah, no, I think they're going to follow the gold and the rose gold thing. And if you're a corporate Mac user, and there are firms out there who are all Mac, then they would buy them because they sit on desks and they wouldn't be in a corner in a cubicle. They'd be on an open plan office and they would look really, really cool. If you go to...
Well, because it's a Mac.
It's my sentence. If you go to the... what's that film with Robert De Niro and what's it in it that's out at the moment? The one where he's the old guy and he comes back as a...
Intern,
thank you. Intern. Yes. That kind of company that has Macs on the desk, they would probably go for some fascist conscious or design conscious firm, perhaps go for a color.
So. Oh, yeah. No, look at Grove Made, man. Grove Made makes a mint out of selling those lovely bent plywood like stands for an iMac that don't technically need a stand. But in startup you know, Palooza over there in Portland and San Francisco and San Diego and whatnot, you'll go into any of these offices and you see all this hyper swanky stuff that they don't need. And then it's normally why half of these companies run out of money before their app gets done, because they're busy buying all of this cool swanky office stuff.
Yeah.
So the interest, the elephant in the room at this event, I think, is going to be the Mac Pro. And what's interesting about this timing-wise, too, is the Final Cut Pro 10 Creative Summit is happening that same day. It starts October 27th. And those are all Apple's Pro customers who would be salivating over a new Mac Pro.
So do you think we're getting an upgrade, or do you think we're getting a new design for the Mac Pro, or don't you know?
Again, it's the elephant in the room. I don't know that they're going to do anything with the Mac Pro. There's going to be an uproar, but the timing is interesting enough. Like, why would they be, why that date, why the Creative Summit starting that day, and the fact that this is looking from the invite to be a more general Mac announcement? Let's put it this way. I hope they introduce a new Mac Pro. I don't care if it's a redesign or not, but they need something that is going to get the pros excited, or just happy again that Apple hasn't abandoned the Mac Pro. I think a lot is going to be telling. If we reach the end of this event and there's not a new Mac Pro, I think that's the writing on the wall. That's Apple saying, we don't care about that market anymore.
Do you think they're running the event on that date because they know none of them will be there?
I'm hoping they're running it on that day because that way they can have something at the start of that event to get the creative pros excited about, you know?
Where is that Creative Summit?
It's in Cupertino, I think. Hold on.
Just down the block then, so they could get an Uber up there with a hatchet and see Tim off.
Yeah, it's in Cupertino.
Yeah, it's in Cupertino. Yeah, because they do a field trip to the Apple campus.
Oh, so it's not on the Apple campus, though?
No.
Nah.
So there could be pitchforks and burning effigies.
Yeah, there could be. There really could be. No,
you know, what's funny is one of the platinum sponsors is Dell.
I mean, I'm hoping because of the invite and because of what's on there, we're talking about a revamp of the whole Mac line so that we get a Mini, we get an iMac, we get a Mac Pro, and we get the MacBooks as the icing on the cake.
Oh, you want to see the Mini go down to being the plug as well as, don't you? And it's just
whatever they do, that would be cool. I mean, anything that they're going to do with the Mini would be great. I don't think they're going to do that. I think it's going to be mainly iMac and MacBook Pro, but I'm hoping they bookend the thing with something for the Mac Pro and something for the Mini. I don't think those are going to be the big parts of the announcement, but at least some updates would be nice.
I want to see the Mini turn into like the Intel stick, where it's just, basically a MacBook-sized logic board and flash drive stuck in a device that you basically stick into the back of an HDMI port. And the reason for that is it really gives you the opportunity to almost like have an iMac but bring your own screen. And I made the joke about like Dell being the core sponsor for this Final Cut Summit, but it's because Dell has the thing that all the editors love right now, which is this beautiful 4K monitor that's roughly only about, I think, 2400 for the larger size. And then so a lot of people in the industry are using that Dell monitor. It's the only reason why Dell would be, you know, a title sponsor in Apple event. So if you take somebody like that and they have these monitors around, but they need something that sits as a file server or on cloud or even just a backup machine, and you have a HDMI dongle you could stick into a back of any, you know, HDMI compatible machine and basically have a Mac Mini with the screen as you generate an iMac, it'd be awesome.
Comment in the horse room, in the chat room from Horse, who's saying, what about software? Is there going to be painting on the iPad Pro? You've already got painting on the iPad Pro, haven't you? Unless you're talking about them actually physically putting paint on the front of it, mate. That's all.
Or a touch screen.
A touch screen on a Mac? Yeah. So you can use a pencil on it?
Yeah.
You reckon?
Nah. Yeah, it's
going to
come eventually.
I'll say, you know, my prediction right now is you got the new MacBook Pro, and we'll probably get into some of the features of that. You're going to have a whole new setup of iMacs. I'll give it a 25% chance that they have a new display. And I think on the Mac pro side, and the, I think you'll be bookend or slipped in there will be a Mac Mini update, moving to USB-C, and just a process, a small processor bump and stuff like that. I don't see a form factor change there. And same thing on the Mac Pro. I think you're going to see new internals on the Mac Pro, but I don't think you're going to see a design change. I think you're just going to see a bump up to modern stuff.
I don't think it needs a design change. I still think mine's gorgeous. I love it when it sits on the corner. It's, admittedly.
So, I think that's the whole event. You know, I think it's those four things.
I might not bother watching
them now. Maybe five if you throw on the monitor.
I think they could scrap the MacBook, the Air, because it's overlapping too much now.
Yeah, that's a good point. We did talk about rationalization of the line, so...
I think that's just going to go away. I don't even think they're going to comment on it. I think it's just going to be, they're going to show a MacBook Pro. I don't think they're going to, they may in brief mention the MacBook itself, but I don't think they're going to touch the Air or talk about it. And I think they will show off the new MacBook Pro.
I got a question for you guys. Do you feel, a lot of people talk about it, I personally feel they don't need to, but do you feel that they need to put something that's a little bit between tablet and computer, like a la Surface-esque?
I don't know. I mean, you're talking about changing screen functionality then, though, aren't you? So it's not...
Yeah, it's not really about the keyboard, more or less, than just your drive size and like a more file system-y style file system and USB PUCAs in order to allow people to plug various things into it.
But I think if you look at the iPad Pro, and there could be iPad changes as well, don't forget, but if you look at the iPad Pro, the drive system there is not bad, but you're still running heavily on the iOS interface, whereas the Pro has got a desktop interface.
Right.
So I don't see them clouding that process where you can swap between two interfaces. Although I'm sure that, you know, programming-wise, that's not
Sierra, is definitely the first step in that direction, and I don't think we need to do it yet. It's just that it's so much noise, and I'm looking at what Horses wrote in the chat. You know, every time I see one of those Surface commercials, and they're like, "Oh, you can't do that on a Mac." I'm like, "Well, technically, you can if you want to take a stylus and draw on the trackpad. It totally would do exactly what a Surface does."
Oh, yes.
Most people don't know that because most people have never tried it. But any standard iPad stylus would draw right on a trackpad and give you, you know, some of the same stuff that you see on the Surface. It wouldn't be quite as accurate. But also, there's apps and things to do all of that on an iPad. You know, so those Surface commercials are a little blurry because they just, you know, don't really point out that it's very capable on, say, an iPad Pro. But I was just wondering if you feel we needed to attack that gap or just let Microsoft have that gap and ignore them.
I don't think it's a gap that needs to be filled, to be honest, by Apple. I think the interesting thing as well with the Surface ones, if you look at the girl that's the mountain tour guide, which her face ain't crusty enough to be a mountain tour guide by any stretch of the imagination. But she says, I do this, this, and this, which I can't do on my Mac. And I just sat there and thought, someone's going to get fired because you clearly just admitted you own a Mac. So the guy that does the set design, he does loads of stuff with that, and he goes, you can't do this on a Mac. Yeah, you can.
Yeah, you can. And that's what I was talking about, is the Beowulf guy. He was one of the exact ones that the example that they show in that Beowulf commercial, and the other one is like a travel couple. They got married, and then they realized that they could take people to do what they like to do for fun and make a business out of it. Both of those are so easily done on either a Mac or an iPad, and I just find those commercials a little dorky, but... Even though I've been saying we don't need it, sometimes I'm thinking for someone sort of like you, Yuen, or some of the people that I know in other production levels, they would love the iPad to be a little bit more Surface-y as far as, you know, file system and capabilities. Like to do small level DITs and stuff in the field with a more of a machine, but no one wants to lug around a MacBook or a MacBook Retina on that environment, you know?
I think on the interest of touchscreen as well, I just think that's a leap that Apple don't really want. I don't think they've actually established, I don't think any manufacturer's established that touchscreen is essential. And at the Genius Bar, I can't see Apple touching that with a barge pole, because once you go into a touchscreen, you've got far more chance for screw-ups, haven't you?
Yeah. Well, your finger is blocking, your finger in your hand is blocking a large portion of whatever you're doing all the time. You know?
I was thinking it's more like, so it would be the separation between iOS and So you could create functionality where you, instead of using the Mac, the trackpad all the time, you would have the ability to set the cursor using your finger rather than. But then you to use Andy and Atko's phrase, your screen's going to look like you've given birth to it after about 10 minutes.
Exactly. Yeah. Oh my God. You know what's great? I just got the Wacom Intuos Pro, the newest one, and I got the rather large size one because of the way that the thing translates to a screen on a 27-inch 5K. The smaller ones don't really work as well. So what's trippy is they have a mode called Touch On now, so I can kind of use my Wacom the same way that you use an iPad, and I find myself doing it more than you would expect. It's kind of cool. So I can see it, but I prefer not to touch the screen. I get irritated when people touch the screen. Oh, this right here, can you move that there? I just want to flip them with a ruler.
Screens that the stylus, the Apple, the pen can work on?
No. So you can, on the tablet, right, it's dark in here, so it's dark. I don't know if you can see it, but on this big monster right here, you can actually just take your finger and run it along the tablet, and it works exactly like a giant trackpad and a touchscreen. So as you tap, I'm closing windows. As you tap things, it actually works almost as if you're using an iPad, but you're just looking at the screen up here, but your hand's like on a table doing it like an iPad, and it's kind of a neat trick.
What about Apple?
What about AstroPad?
AstroPad still works, and I mean that's great and all. And I tried using it for the longest time, and I loved it, but it just doesn't replace some of the functionality that the Wacom has. So I had to switch back. I tried to be cute with it, and like, I'm not buying another $500 tablet. AstroPad's going to do it. It was close, but it's not the same.
I like the fact you can see what you're drawing as well on the AstroPad, and it's duplicated on the screen. That's really nice.
You know what AstroPad is? And I mean this in the most sincere way. Don't laugh too much. It's like when you have to wear a gummy. It's close, but it's not the same.
Okay. A what?
What's a gummy?
A condom.
Oh, okay, right. Yeah.
Oh.
Sorry, that's a Japanese word for it. Don't ask me why.
Are you suggesting that you use your wand then to control your Mac? Is that that's what you're referencing the gummy for? But you put a gummy on so it doesn't look like you're giving birth to it?
No, I'm just saying it's very close. Like AstroPad is like that. It's very close to the tablet, but it's not quite it.
Okay.
You know,
I understood. I understood. I'm sorry, Matt. I was being facetious.
I missed your facetiousness.
That's okay. It's easily done. Patent filing for a magic toolbar.
Oh yes,
magic toolbar.
Magic toolbar. Well, I mean, apart from that, sounds like it's the banana splits from the 1970s, size of a magic toolbar. This thing's a touch toolbar that goes on the top of your iMac, your MacBook Pro.
Yeah, replaces
Pro,
the function keys. This is the thing we've been talking about on the MacBook Pro. It's freaking sounds awesome.
But it's not the OLED keyboard that they were talking about, though.
No, it is. Not an OLED keyboard, no.
So there's an OLED keyboard that we talked about last week, and then there's a strip along the top here that I'm showing, which is going to be touch sensitive, I presume, which I would then, on the basis that that's going to be there, you're not going to have a touch screen.
That is OLED. That's an OLED display, basically, just a long, skinny one.
Yeah, so two USB-C ports as well showing there, so it looks like the death of USB as we currently know it.
Just the current USB wide connector. I mean, you're changing one connector for another connector, but you're still talking USB and more, right? I mean, because it's not just USB over that connector. You've got DisplayPort, you've got Thunderbolt 3, you've got power.
Yeah. Oh, I love USB-C. I'm a USB-C devotee. It is the way forward on mobile for certain. And I thought it was an interesting point. If
it'd be nice if there were more ports. Sorry.
That's okay. When they got rid of the headphone port, they were going, it's time to be brave. And they were repeating the videos of Steve at All Things D saying, you know, we hitch our wagon to the ascendant technology and we've never been afraid to do that. Huzzah. And I thought to myself, actually, if you really were believing that, then you'd be ditching Lightning and going for USB-C on all sorts.
Yeah. I always wondered why there's no USB-C on the iOS devices. I always thought it'd be a much better interface and so much more prolific, and you can add things to it.
Yeah.
But you know the answer to that, right, though?
Yeah.
Doc. No, bias asked the question.
Oh, well, the answer to that is Apple makes a crud ton of money off of licensing the Lightning connector.
Of course
they're not
going
to give up that money.
So that's what I'm saying. We attach our wagon to the ascending technologies. Just spin.
As long as we build it.
That's, bullshit. That's the yeah. Okay. If we get if we suddenly buy USB-C, which I probably can't, but yeah, we'll do it then.
Well, I think they're only attaching their wagon to that as a connector because, again, they can run. They can now through Intel run, Thunderbolt over it.
Yeah.
Which is still theirs. I mean, they still want to have control over the technology to a certain degree.
Are you laughing at something in the chat room?
Yeah, I'm laughing at Adam JP said, I got a giant gummy bear in the fridge and now I'm going to have to flush my mind before opening the fridge door again. Oh, I got tears on that one.
I want to come back to the magic toolbar, though, because the one thing I want to see from the announcement when they announced that is they really need to talk about having immediately available developer support. And hopefully they pull somebody like Adobe out on stage to like say, and, you know, Photoshop's already been, we've already been working with Adobe. Photoshop's already built in to work with this thing. And you've got customized functions that, you know, each app can assign up to that dynamic toolbar. I mean, because that's where the real power is going to come into play on that thing. That's where it's a game changer, is in the software more so than just, you know, the fact that they stuck that up there.
Yeah, the picture I put up here, by the way, is a concept image. It's not the real thing. It's not a leak. Which is what I was saying.
Right, but I've seen ones with, like, you know, a Spotify player up there. You know, you can have, so the integration of third-party apps and have that be addressable and assignable in a way that makes sense. Because, I mean, let's face it, function keys are great and apps take advantage of them. But, I mean, you never know, like, until you memorize that stuff, it'd be great to actually have, you know, the icons change and actually show you, all right, well, you here's the things use. That this thing can do.
Nearly, right? Nearly all your function keys outside the volume control, you probably barely use.
Yeah.
I don't.
But they do lots of stuff. I mean, if you take the time to learn them in various apps, there's lots of things they can do. But, I mean, who has the time for that anyway?
Yeah, absolutely. Why bother to learn to use something?
Well, and this will extend eventually. I mean, we've got all those rumors about the other kinds of keyboards, but this is the way of the future, and this is a way for Apple to sort of implement it in a small, controlled way. But I think ultimately, you know, as long as keyboards are still around, this is where the future is. This is where the whole keyboard becomes dynamically addressable. Like,
yeah, I mean,
this.
I got to say, an OLED keyboard, which would be very difficult to work out correctly so that it felt tactile enough, I think, but right. Even with a Taptic Engine. But the idea of one that would highlight color keys like you currently get with, you can buy special keyboards, can't you, that are set up for
video
Premiere
editing.
Pro and Final Cut and for Photoshop and that kind of stuff. That's just a flick of a switch and an OS change. Yes,
well, and think of it for
the
international Macs, too. You don't have to build different ones for different... You know, for different countries.
Yeah, exactly. But Doc's just holding up the sheets overlay that you can buy that go over.
Someone's knocking on my door. Hold on.
Yeah, go for it, mate. No worries. It's on your show.
Yeah.
What the hell?
Could have muted at least first.
Yes. Is he on Final Countdown for a takeoff for Elon Musk or something? It's either that or his wife's got him doing the tumble drying.
Well, I think his office is down in the
I'm sorry, I can't hear you.
Laundry,
I can't hear you.
Oh.
I can edit, don't
why
worry.
Why the hell did he mute?
Inconsiderate git.
Can you mute him? On your end?
Don't press mute then, Doc, because you didn't press mute for us anyway, so I don't want you to mute yourself when you want to talk.
Sorry.
It's all right, mate. We're just postulating as to what you're doing, whether you're getting ready for launch out there for a Mars probe or...
No, I was the FedEx man, was delivering something.
Okay, there we go. You need to get that van checked then, because it's a bit noise. What else has gone on? Tim Cook was going to be vice president.
Yeah, that. That's pretty funny.
I don't believe that for a second.
In all his spare time, right?
Yeah. Well, the funny thing was, also, they said another good option would be Bill Gates, and then somebody else said, well, Melinda Gates, and then somebody said, well, why don't they just do it as a couple? So we have the vice couple, Bill and Melinda Gates. That was just.
I think that's actually a movie that I've seen, The Vice Couple. But it wasn't a Hollywood film.
Yeah. I don't doubt that he was considered. He would have never accepted. I think he has no interest in that whatsoever.
I was just about to say, do you think she asked him first? What? They were going to make me vice president? No one asked me. No one said a word.
The only reason why I would have totally enjoyed this, even though it would have been a big hit for the Apple, is I would just love to see the face of some of the constituents in America having an openly gay vice president.
Yeah, that would be interesting.
Especially all of the Trump Luddites, you know, and people of that ilk.
Yeah, the second lot of color in the White House in the last 10 years.
That would have just killed them. That absolutely awesome. Would have just killed them.
Adam in the chat room is pointing out it could have been worse. It could have been Steve Ballmer as vice president. Yeah, because I got to say, Steve Ballmer doesn't strike me as a Republican. No. No.
And he would have then been the second vice president on Apple's board, right?
He was on Apple's board.
No. Tim
Cook's on Apple's board. I know.
Right. But, and so is crap. Why am I blanking on
Al Gore?
Al Gore, thank you.
Is he still on, or not? Is he off now?
No, I think he's still on Apple.
Still on. Okay, right. Horses just put Democrats.
I was going to say he'd be in it. Republican.
Jump up and down. I tell you what, if he was and Hillary died, that would be one hell of a State of the Nation speech, wouldn't it?
God.
You jump up there. The poor. Donald Trump. Oh, I'm getting so sick and tired of the US presidential election. It's a banned subject now. We're not talking
about it. Oh, you can imagine how we feel.
Thank God.
It's a banned subject. 90%... of the authorized, allegedly, guaranteed, supposedly accepted by Apple hardware on Amazon is fake.
Not surprising.
It's not. And there's been some stuff come up where after just a few hours of use on the very first day, the charger literally caught fire. And it was supposedly an authorized Apple product. And it isn't. It's just a piece of junk.
Wow, people, you know, the internet's just discovering it's very easy to steal a logo and put it on a piece of packaging out of China.
Yeah, there we go.
Right? Wow. I think the bigger thing is here is that what triggered the story is Apple is starting to go after these companies. They're actually actively...
Yeah, $2 million lawsuit against the counterfeiter.
Yeah.
Mobile Star LLC.
Yeah, and it's like one a big part of it is it's one company and they just put out a bunch of products under a bunch of different brand names and, you know, sort of try to hide themselves.
Well, they've been found now and Apple are going to shaft them.
Well, I mean, but this is a game of whack-a-mole, though, too. I mean, Apple's not going to be able to really shut this down or control it. I mean, it comes back to us as consumers, you know, like paying attention to where you're buying something from and understanding that, you know, a charger that Apple sells for $20, you know, that you're getting on Amazon for $3. Yeah, the math's not working out.
So no such thing as a free lunch.
Yeah.
It's amazing how many people know that, but yet they tend to forget that as they try to do various things.
Yeah, no. Now, I think this is quite an interesting one because I wouldn't be surprised if we got something on home from the thing. Apple is courting home builders to bolster HomeKit adoption. Mm-hmm. Apple is partnering with various building companies to integrate HomeKit into its homes from the get-go, with hopes that such ingrained smart home features will convince prospective buyers into sticking with the Apple ecosystem for the long haul. I think there's some credence to that, and I'm wondering whether, I mean, basically, so you know there's going to be a super tiny Mac Mini come out that's half the price because I've just bought 5 for the Skype wall.
I think it's Apple
and I've
TV,
just bought
right?
6 Amazon Dots and an Amazon Echo. So then you know that Apple's going to bring something out that's equally good, or not, because it's got Siri on it, but... I mean, home automation is the future, and I think they're going to dive into this, and I'm sure that they are talking to homeowners. Are we going to get anything next week on this, or is it just...
No.
No,
this is a timing thing. I mean, this is something when you lock it. They were doing this, you know, when I was buying my house or looking at new home construction, like, 15 years ago, the big thing was is they were selling, like, integrated television packages. So when you bought the house, it came with, you know, like, all your in-wall Cat 5, and it came with, you know, they even threw in, like, a flat-screen TV, right? So this is just the next step of Apple partnering up with them and getting them to install all HomeKit-compatible switches throughout the house and controls and stuff like that. And then the home builder will, hey, when you buy the house, you get, you know, an Apple TV in three rooms or something like that. I mean, because the outlay of cash to them is $300, but they're selling a home automated integrated house as like an upsell to entice buyers to buy with them. So it makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, no, definitely.
And Apple won't be the only one. I mean, Microsoft was doing this when they, you know, again, back 10 years ago, they were selling they had their whole media system. The Media Center PCs were being bundled with houses. And this is something that's always gone on, at least here in the States. I don't know how it is over there. But yeah, I mean, and you'll see, Google will do the same thing. They'll partner with some home builder to build, you know, Google Smart Home right when you buy it, or Alexa will do it as well.
You tend to get a washing machine here, maybe a TV, but that's pretty much it. You're not going to get anything that's cutting edge, are you? Yeah, some of the new homes in the company. Is really? It a new house? No, it's a Barrett.
There's a lot of competition here, and you're talking about the big guys. Like, you threw up that picture, like Lennar is like a massive, massive home builder, and then there's a few others that are just, you know, KB is another one here in the States, and they're just, you know, there's big competition, and people, you know, men and people, not just men, people in general like these tech features, you know, it's like, wow, I'm going to buy the house and it's going to be all ready to go with my garage door and my lights and all those things, my sprinkler system all working together. And they're going to throw in the hub, you know, whether that's, like you said, a Mac Mini or an Apple TV or whatever it might be.
So you don't think there's going to be an Echo-esque device or anything in the near future?
I hope there is. But yeah, maybe in the spring when they announce the new iPads, they could roll that into that event.
Muller's whispering in the background. Don't say Siri, don't say Alexa. I did get an email this week from someone suggested that we apply different names to Alexa, Google and Siri, just so that when we did a show, we didn't send everyone else's off, which my dots just started over there. I don't know what it's in. Alexa, cancel. So we don't have to call him Gertrude or something like that in future. It's going to be called Gertrude. We've had some emails as well. Upon our test last week, Mark Sissons did send, he said, who is the American president? And Siri managed to reply that was a film with Michael Douglas, or it was a documentary film that was about George Bush. Which I thought was rather... I mean, I can kind of forgive the both of those, because that is the title of the film. But then he asked where the island of Crete was, and he got a picture of his Port Colborne. And what's interesting, and I've had this myself today, hey Siri, show me a map of... No, don't, sorry. We've got to... Hey Gertrude, show me a map of the island of Crete. And it's recognised the question absolutely perfectly in the written text, and it's got, okay, here's Port Colborne.
Why don't we use the names of the CEOs?
Hey, Tim Cook. There we go. That's the one. Well done. We'll do that in future.
Hey, Tim. Hey, Sergey.
Hey, Sergey. Okay, Sergey.
Hey, Jeff.
Okay, Sergey.
Hey, Tim, and...
Jeff.
Jeff.
Jeff, just Jeff, yeah. Just Jeff. That'll be it.
Just Jeff.
Just Jeff. the other one I got today was, hey Tim, what's the postcode for Bristol Parkway Station? And again, she got the question exactly right, but it's put, I found quite a few cinemas away from you. A little way from you. It's like, hang on. I was at Gloucester Services, at least she's got the right location, but I don't want to go to the show. And it's got the question right in the top.
Yep.
Now, the other thing is, interestingly, we were over at the Curry
House. They have a long way to go.
Yeah, no.
Didn't we cover this last week?
That's in alpha when you thought about doing it yesterday, that kind of accuracy. That's not a few iterations in. We were over at the Curry House, and Mark, I got a ping through, and I got 10.03 update for the iPhone 7, and you pulled your 6S out, and you said you've got no update.
So I'm gonna text you a picture, and I just funny that we're talking about this day because I did this yesterday, messing around because the Just Jeff's new product came out today, right? So I was gonna order one, and so dicking around, I made the comment to like Just Jeff to my Tim device, and it answered. So I sent you the pics. It's kind of funny.
Okay, send it. I'll put it up.
Did you get it? I texted you just now.
I haven't got it yet. Here we go. One attachment, one image. So that this is Just Jeff. What time is it? And you've got the time, 7:48 p.m.
But it's funny because it responded to that name. I didn't press the button. It actually responded to that.
I've just clocked what you're saying. Yes, yeah, sorry.
So, no, that's funny to me.
So you're using Hey Tim. And it's replied with, it's answered to, I'm lost with the names now, Just Jeff.
Yeah, so I said, hey, Just Jeff, what time is it to a Hey Tim device? And it answered me. But the funny part is, it spelled out the question.
Become aware.
Like, that's just absolutely funny.
Do you know what, dude? You are too fluid with that. You've just rattled that off without missing a step, mate. I'm scared to death. That's too easy.
Hey, that's what 10 years of radio will do for you. There's people just shove a piece of paper in your hand and read it like you know what you're talking about.
I find that dead interesting. So it would appear then that Hey Tim responds to Just Jeff.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, we need to. The other thing as well is we need to have fun with the because when you use Just Jeff, you can say Simon says, and it says something afterwards. It goes, I heard, and then it repeats what you said. So we need to get some sound bites for a soundboard that are really offensive. Because they're going to take that functionality away. You know it.
Yes.
This podcast and all these brought to you by UK2. They've given us a massive amount of bandwidth over the years and a server that's, huzzah, 400 quid a month at one point. It's a lot less now. I think it's 1,500 quid a year. But we've got the most wonderful service from them, and they're great. If you're listening to this podcast, then the chances are, or definitely the only reason you're getting this is because they pick up all the bandwidth charges for it. We couldn't afford to do it without them. So please make sure you tweet out to UK2 and say, at UK2, thanks for supporting that British Tech. If you get a moment, send them a message, just send them an email that says thank you, and use their services. Go to britishtechnetwork.com/sponsors and you'll have a link there that will let you sign in, or it'll let you use all the offer codes that are there. And it doesn't matter whether you're a new customer or not, we look after everybody at BTN. You will get 20% off domains, you will get a month off your VPS or VPN renewal or something like that. So use the offer codes even if you repeat business and renewals, because you'll still get the BTN discount. Thanks to them, because they've been absolutely wonderful to us. You've got a microphone there, fellas, that's in. We're very lucky tonight because we've actually got Hoya with us, and you're in. You've taken us out for curry. Thanks, boys. It's really kind.
Hoya curry.
And a wonderful curry. And we've got John and Mark from Hoya who are going to talk us through. And now the thing is, you're supporting the podcast, so thanks to them for doing that.
Hello.
Graham's here. Graham's a listener. We can't get on camera at the moment, but that's no bad thing. And he's going to stick his head in. Hang on. Well, I've cut away. Don't worry.
There he is.
We do the kind of like, so if you're a Hoya supporter then and BTN supporter, then please go to your local opticians and say, excuse me, do you do Hoya lenses? And then when they say, no, we don't, you go, that's a shame, and walk away, right? So Graham is the proud owner of some Hoya glasses, and he went to his local optician, tapped on the door, went in and said, excuse me, do you do Hoya lenses? And they went, yeah, we do.
I didn't know what to say.
And he's really hacked off because he didn't get to deliver the line.
Oh,
But he has some more glasses.
You owe me 220 quid.
No problem. So, but now we've been promising, we've been teasing for a very long time that there is a big announcement coming from Hoya, and this is the official BTN launch of it, at least anyway. You've had a little soiree in Paris that was just a little affair, wasn't it? A few weeks ago. But this is the big thing. What is coming? Because, I mean, we've been impressed with the iPad stuff and the Prism and all that kind of thing. Well, that blew our minds, you know, last summer. But, I mean, this is step change. What's happening, boys?
Well, you mentioned so eloquently earlier about giving birth, probably not in a pretty way, but...
There we go. It's all right. Use the mic.
Does that work now?
Yeah.
It's really difficult in our industry to give birth to something new, but actually, recently in Paris, we launched what has become a brand new category in the world of spectacles, which is 3D vision-centric eyewear.
Okay, what's that in English?
Okay, so if you imagine you're a really clever lens designer,
yeah,
you have to make some assumptions when you design a lens to go into a pair of current spectacles, because the thing that has to come first is the frame. So if we look at Mark here with his frame on, he'll choose that, he'll put it on his face, and then the lenses go in. And the challenge is, if you are a lens designer, you have no idea three-dimensionally where the lens would be placed. So you have to design the lens, making some assumptions about where it's going to fit in terms of the different tilts and wrap angles and curvatures and distances from the optical system, which is in effect the eye.
Right.
So what we've done is kind of reverse engineer. And in order to do this, we've collaborated with Materialise in Belgium, who are the leading 3D print technology experts in Levon in Belgium, and a design company called Hoyt, who are Belgian. They design Theo frames. They were the first to produce laser-cut titanium. They've been making 3D printed frames. So we've used them to design the frames. But really what we've done is completely reversed the process. So now what we're doing is we're taking a medical grade 3D scan of a patient's face. I think you've got some images of the scanner.
But, yeah, there's a picture here that I'm showing, which I'm guessing is from Paris, that's got two large blocks on the side that look like speakers. And I know there are two speakers outside those, but these things, I've got a bigger picture of those. They're quite large, but they scan the face then, I take it?
I mean, it's just one picture, actually. It happens very quickly.
All right.
But it takes a 3D scan because of the way that the cameras converge onto the subject. And all you have to do is mark up where the pupil centres are and where the ear insertion points are. And then it will ignore the frame, which is completely the reverse of what we do, and it will design the lens in the correct optimised position in front of the subject, forgetting the constraints of having a frame in the way.
So you're putting, previously you've been putting the cart before the horse, and now you're putting the horse first.
So this is why we're calling it vision-centric, because the vision and the lens design is coming before anything else. But then you need another element to that, so because once it's designed the lens in the right position, there may be other constraints. The subject may have,
A nose that's been broken seven times.
Or a nose that doesn't project enough. So there may be a restriction on the frames that can fit. Now, there's a load of frame designs loaded up in the software that Hoyt have designed for us. And what it will do is it will sort of hunt through the different shapes and sizes available. And it will only select from the ones that will actually work with the lenses and with your face, and give you a choice of those for the next step. And then from there you choose that, you personalize it, you can choose color, you can choose the design, you can have different textures because it's 3D printed. And then it will make the whole lot as a unit, if you like, for the first time ever, where the lens isn't constrained by the frame and the frame isn't inhibited by the lens. So it really is a brand new category of eyewear that puts vision first.
That's really impressive. And the thing is, one of the videos that you've got on YouTube, you can actually see it tweaks the nose piece, doesn't it? So you can flex the nose piece slightly to fit a person's...
Which, I mean, there are frames on the market that can be tailor-made to do that, But what you're doing with them is still building the frame first and then trying to design the lens to fit around what you've done with the frame, whereas it's doing the whole thing seamlessly as a complete matching unit, which is quite an exciting time because it's been quite difficult over the last few years to come up with something new and groundbreaking in the world of lens design, frame design, and this is really kind of rocks the world. I did a presentation a few weeks ago to an audience at an event I was at, and just kind of teased them with this. And honestly, I've never had a time when I presented and had stunned silence and no questions. And I thought, God, they hated it. And I realised afterwards that they were so dumbfounded by the technology that they were speechless. And actually, speechless opticians is quite hard to get.
So, I mean, we were talking about last year, we were talking about the Avantech lenses being very bespoke. But so what you're saying is that what I've got now is, you know, this was good, that's but old, man, yeah. This is unbelievably further on.
Yeah, a big difference was, if you remember when we used the iPad to take all the facial, the eye position within the lens and the tilts and everything of the lens. Well, what we're doing there is we've got a lens design and we are making amendments to that lens design to correct some of the damage that the frame causes. But you can't correct all the damage. You can only, there's no substitute to having a lens in absolutely the perfect position.
Yeah.
So we've gone from that technology to this brand new technology where we're not having to make amendments and tweaks to try to improve on the performance. You're going to get the best performance possible.
And you, because we were talking earlier on, I was saying, well, you know, most people look at something like, here's something that I 3D printed, and actually that's something that's fairly clean and not bad on my little 3D printer. But actually it's still pretty rough and a bit ready and needs a lot of finishing work on it. But you were telling me that this thing's completely different. Oh. The way, it's not a 3D printer in the truest sense of the word.
No, God, I was privileged enough to visit the Materialise factory in Belgium, and it blew my mind. I mean, you would love it, but... this is 3D laser sintering, and the way it works is that whatever you're making is scanned, and a microscopic layer of powder is applied to this bed, and then lasers on a molecular level sinter each individual molecule so that turns into the plastic or whatever substance you're turning it into, and it builds it up in microscopic layers. So
it's a layer of of dust that's then a laser picks out which bits of the dust
it targets solidify. The dust like a sniper rifle, yeah,
and then it lays another layer of dust and then targets that.
I mean, you can see it online. There's videos of 3D laser sintering, but it's so different from the building up the plastics kind of process that you've got with your shoddily made sample there. Yeah.
Thank you very much, mate. I was rather proud of that. Based on the crap I've gone through in the last 6 months for getting that to work, that's an ocean away from where I was.
But it's not just 3D printing. There's a lot of hand finishing. So when the product is made, you've got this block of what looks like powder. It's almost archaeological at this point because the technicians then have to by hand break away the powder, brush it away, almost like they're revealing bones in some kind of Indiana Jones archaeological style, and then the product is hand finished. I mean, in its raw finish, it's a sort of naked color, and they are hand finished. I mean, it's beautiful finishes, almost like natural slate and stone, and the possibilities are quite endless. You can make these impossible interwoven shapes with 3D printing, doing it with the laser sintering. And
can I ask a question on that?
Okay.
When you say about the glasses, are you getting away from being a frame and a lens, or is it just going to be you can make the whole front of the glass?
No, good point. The frame and the lens are still separate components.
What I'm thinking that you were saying.
But actually,
they would just be a whole front thing with the.
We can't 3D print a lens. I mean, if you think about our lens technology, we use what we call freeform production, and essentially we're CNC carving a lens in 3D anyway. So we're doing the 3D printing equivalent of surfacing lenses with the lenses that Ewan wears, for example. You know, both sides are individually and microscopically carved.
So you're making the angle of the frame, because the lens will be...
No, so they're setting the lens where the lens it needs to be, and then they're printing the frame so that it sits...
The frame fits around the lens. Yeah.
So they won't technically speaking, then, there wouldn't be any fitting afterwards.
No.
Exactly.
Because once it's made, it's made, that's it. Here you go, stick it on.
Yeah.
Okay, then.
So it comes through the post, then. At least you save some cost.
How far away are we from doing that?
Well, my next question was going to be, when do people at BTN stop walking into the optician and going, excuse me, do you do Hoyer lenses? And go, excuse me, do you do Hoyer Unica?
We are getting the first scanners arriving in January, so not far away now. And we've already got quite a list of excited early adopter customers that have said, we want to be the first in the UK to get this technology. So... watch this space on that, but you should find...
Well, when you've got a pair, you're going to bring them down. I have another curry and show them off.
I'm in the line to get mine, yeah.
You'll be getting one. Hey! So, but when you've got some to show, send them down and we'll show them on the show, definitely.
Yeah, absolutely.
No question.
Yeah.
That's brilliant. I can't wait to see these. They're awesome. I can't even have my face scanned. What happens if you lose weight?
You just buy another pair.
Yeah.
Cha-ching! Obvious question. Are we a bit early for price yet, or have we got a ballpark price for these?
We're not in full control because we're the manufacturers and it's the optical practices ultimately that will determine the retail price. But we envisage, depending on how... what sort of lens you need, whether it's a single vision or a progressive... between about $550 for a single vision pair and probably about $890 for a progressive varifocal pair, which is actually round about what you would expect to pay for a premium pair of ordinary glasses now.
Okay.
So it's big step change.
So it'll be competitive. It's not, because when you're talking about it being hand finished and archaeologically removed from the dust, you're kind of thinking, yeah, that's not going to be cheap in Belgium.
I bet
a glass archaeologist doesn't come cheap in Belgium.
I mean, we have presented it to some places. Well, we've presented the concept. We're not showing the actual product yet, and some people have thought that our estimation is a bit on the low side.
Right, okay.
The reality for us is that generally frame suppliers have quite different margins. You know, if you go into an optician, there may be 2,000 frames on the shelf and they're all competing for space, and the public will choose, you know, whatever brand they prefer, whatever look they prefer. And because there's no more margin to be made other than the sale of the frame. And the volume sales are quite low then. But in our world, it's the lenses that matter currently. So for us to sell this as a package, if you like, because we're in control of the whole operation, including the frames, then the margin for us is slightly different from a frame supplier, which means that we can offer a more competitive option on a fully tailor-made 3D vision-centric eyewear, which is a brand new category.
Yeah, excellent, mate, excellent. Horse has made a good point in the chat room, actually. He's saying, so this is putting the mirrors, this is putting the windows up first and then building the house around it.
Yes.
Perfect.
Yeah, that's a good analogy, that. I've no idea where that dinging's coming from before anyone writes in and complains. I haven't got a clue what's making it because my speakers are turned down over there.
I just said it was me.
Oh, is it? Oh, sorry, man. Thank you.
Yeah, I didn't hear it because I'm in my headphones, but I realize it's my sister's freaking serial texting me.
You're the reason that NACO won't come back.
You know those people who text you a paragraph but insist on pressing send after every sentence? I kind of want to punch you in the face.
Yeah, me, so do you got 25,000 other people now that do as well.
Because they're typing so quickly, they press send before they mean to.
And it's impressive that you waited till the sponsor's advert was
right. No, write it like a normal thing. Write the whole paragraph. Even if it's three paragraphs, there's a return button. Then press send. But be like, hey, enter. What time are we going to eat lunch? Dinner. I'm thinking we should have Chinese. Dinner. Or maybe curry takeaway. I just want to freaking reach through the phone and punch him right in the face. If that's you and you know who you are, you deserve a kick in the wedding vegetables.
Hey, Doc.
Yes.
A little podcasting tip. There's a little switch on the side of your phone.
I just did it. It's not my phone, it's the iMac.
Before you start a podcast.
It's not my phone, it's the iMac. Do you know what? Option click on the speaker. I just did it.
That's so spooky, because while we were at the Curry House, Hoyer was just saying that's exactly the way we want the sponsors read to end.
Do you know when you want to reach through the screen and punch them in the face.
If there's an app for that, I want that app. That app would be off the hook.
Yeah, if your sister wants some of these lenses, we won't put the lenses in. We'll just buy the frame so we can poke her in the eyes after she...
I don't think they make a pair of horse thick enough. I'm going to get hurt for that one. I'm going to shut up.
This is where you show your age, because I always say, you think, oh, did he have big glasses on? Oh, they were like a pair of Corona bottles. Mm-hmm. And there's only a certain number of people in the UK that's dwindling rapidly who know what a Corona bottle is. So.
Yeah.
Follow the bear, was it? No, that was Heineken. But it was a bear. Cresta was the bear. That's right. Yeah, not Corona.
Yeah.
Need to find an advert on YouTube for that, definitely. Right, it's time for the cool things. Have you got a cool thing for us, Adam?
I do. It is the most awesome game for iOS that I found in a while, and I completely hate it.
Is it a morning motion game? Your legs are going
dead. It's a... The game is called Black Box, and they bill it as a refreshingly oppressive puzzle app. It is a puzzle game, and true to its name, I can't say too much about it because I'll give away sort of the solutions. So it's called Black Box. I think it's $1.99 US. And basically, it gives you an interface. You have a little box. Different colored ones, and there's different puzzles, but that's it. A box or a series of boxes comes up on the screen. There's a few other visual clues, but then you're left to figure out what the puzzle is and how to solve it.
All right.
And the key to it is that there is no... everything is done physically with the device. It's not touch. You don't touch the blocks generally. You don't interact with them. When you touch, what you actually do is you get the controls for exiting back to the main screen.
Yeah.
So I can maybe show you one of the puzzles that I'm working on right now. This won't give away anything.
Okay.
So this is currently a puzzle that I'm working on. It looks like a sine wave, and those are the little blocks. So what you're trying to do is figure out what you need to do at any given point to light up those blocks. Turn them from not being solid with the little dot to making them solid. And this is the puzzle right there, and you've got to figure out, okay, what is that? How do I do this? And how do you do it physically? So you don't tap on the thing. You don't interact with the app. There's some physical interaction, real-world interaction, that needs to happen with the phone to solve the puzzle.
Excellent. Did you say a price?
I think it's $1.99, if I'm not mistaken, on the U.S. App Store. So $1.99 U.S., so whatever that translates. Oh, actually, I take it back. It's free. Sorry, free. There is some in-app purchase that is like $1.99 if you want more advanced levels. But all the basic levels, I've been playing for free. The only other thing that I'm going to ask is I posted that link in the chat room. I'm going to post my personalized link, because if you do share out, one of the things it does give you is hints, and you can buy more hints, or you can, if people use your link, you get free hints. And I need hints, so use my link. That I'm going to put here in the chat room, my custom link. Yeah.
Blackboxpuzzles.com. Good pick, mate. Like that.
You'll absolutely hate this game. It's awesome.
It's a leg deadening morning motion game.
You'll be there forever. You'll be there forever. Don't do that.
Just give me the absolute nostalgia overload. Limeade Corona. Corona Limeade. I remember that. And Alpine Pops as well. That used to do a limeade. Alpine Pop limeade. They were great. And they had like a dimple
bottle. Little lorry used to come round the streets.
Right. Yeah, Alpine Pops, that's right. Yep, yep, yep. With a bloke in front of it waving a red flag so no one would get knocked off. God, I'm old.
Traction engine for you.
Thanks, mate. Cool thing, Doc.
I'm laughing at this burnt skin thing. Anyway, first I'm going to do a shameless plug. I just posted a YouTube clip for a brand new music video that just came out today starring my nephew Kazuma. He is the principal actor in this thing, and he's just turned 5. So it's a pretty cool video. I'm not normally into the world beat, extra hippie, run your feet through the sand kind of music, but it is a pretty cool, it is a pretty cool song. It's kind of upbeat and happy, but that the island is Maui and that little kid is my nephew Kazuma. So I just needed to do a shameless plug. Okay.
Good.
So for my regular
If you want to know that link, by the way, all you got to do is go to britishchatnetwork.com/chat, not scat. It's a different thing. Never.
Oh, God.
Oh, God. I can't breathe.
Hoya won't be here next week. And navigate to Thursday the 20th of October, and you'll see the link for Doc and all the others that you shouldn't click.
So my goodness. Anyway,
I can edit. Don't worry.
Before you get us in any more trouble, there's this really cool app that I just recently discovered, and it's called Pablo. I don't know why they named it that, but we'll leave that alone. Anyway, Pablo is like a light trail app. So it's an app for your iPhone, and you go somewhere like in a dark night, and you can like have your friend with a sparkler or a flashlight or another iPhone or whatever, and they can do the letter writing in the sky, and you hold your phone and it takes the pictures. So yesterday on Instagram I posted a video of me standing in the middle of the street where traffic is coming, and you get the light trails of all of the cars coming in. It makes it into a little video. You can save that video to the camera roll and post it to their site or Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, whatever you want. Yesterday I posted one to Instagram, kind of messing around, but I'm just looking forward to going to the beach on like the clear dark sky nights and doing some light writing or just playing around and seeing what kind of cool stuff you can come up with. So it's a neat little app. It's free. I believe there probably are some in-app purchases, but Pablo is pretty cool. So
it's very cool from the pictures I'm seeing. I'm trying to show them over, but I can't get it to
light,
do a screen
light
grab.
Light painting is what it's called, which is maybe why it's called Pablo.
Did I see that? Yeah. If I didn't, I'm sorry.
No, that's good. I like that. That's a good pick. I'm gonna get that. That's anything I get before I finish talking about it. It's well worth having.
So what's it called?
It's called Hi Pablo. It's at hipablo.com, but it's an iOS app. And it's coming in. It's coming in autumn for Android as well. So there you go. That's pretty cool.
It is
coming in fall for Android, so it must be already there because it's got Google listed already.
I'm teasing.
Now, I haven't got a cool thing as such, but I wanted to ask the general opinion whether this is really, really sad or just what a marvellous age we live in. So I've got some Wemo lights at home, but unlike the Insight switches, which are controlled by Alexa, the light bulbs still aren't controlled by Alexa yet. So I was in and the wife was out, and the Wemo app on her phone, she's got the one that controls off-site stuff. I can't do it. And I'd left my phone up at the office. So I opened my laptop and I sent her a text with my laptop that said, sorry, darling, could you switch the lights on in the lounge? Because I can't switch them on without switching them off and on again, which screws up the linky. And she switched them on. And I thought that was really cool. But then someone said, you're in the house and you can't switch your own lights on.
Yeah.
So what you do, because I have something similar set up like that, but it's all using the Hue, but you can do it with the Wemo as well. Go to IFTTT and you can text your commands to them with an IFTTT plugin.
Oh,
so
I hadn't thought that.
What you can do is, like, I had to make an alias in my phone book called the electric company. So I say, hey, Tim Cook, turn off the lights. And this is prior to now, it just works with an Apple TV 4 and the new bridge. But the old school method was, it would text, I would say, hey, Tim Cook, tell the electric company turn off the lights. And it would text that to IFTTT and all the lights would go off. And that was my lazy way of doing it. But now you can just say.
Brilliant.
Truly brilliant. I like that one. Most definitely.
Yes, yeah, so check out IFTTT and solve your problem.
This is exactly why I don't like the switches. Ewan, you might look into, there's a couple different companies that make like HomeKit compatible, or I would assume now whatever system Alexa uses compatible, just like remote switches. So if you have those in-wall units, you can map a little button or a little switch. I think there's one called the Flick, F- LIC that they sell at like Target or whatever.
Yeah.
That you can set up a macro so that you can turn, you can basically create a wall switch for those in-wall plug switches.
Yeah, and what's the equivalent of the Wemo? Like, we have a tap in the Philips world, so I bought, like, several little taps, and they sit all around the house, so you don't have to pull your phone out in order to do one of the scenes. You just press, like, a floaty button, which is kind of cool.
Yeah, and you can stick those to the wall or by the lamp or whatever, and that way you're still triggering the programming, but you're not, you know, flipping the switch on the lamp, which gets it out of sync.
I did tweet it out. I did put it out in the Slack room this week, and one of the camping came back and said, well, why on earth are you doing that? And what everyone's forgotten is the fact that I've got two sites. So this site is the Bel, so the studio is the away phone is used for here. So when I've got my phone with me, it doesn't mean I can change the lights at the house, because I can't. So that was one of the reasons that the problem exists.
Yeah, that's one of the weird hang-ups with HomeKit right now, is that you have to pick a master device, because it's even the same with my locks. And I have a couple of other cats that I would love to have the level of access I have to my lock. Like, the FedEx man came and I wasn't here. Like, from the camera, I can see him and I can open the door on my phone. But, like, Topher and my boy Brian, they can't do it. Even though, like, I might be on vacation or something, they have no access, because Schlage and Apple will only let one person be the master of the away commands. And I kind of think that part needs to get solved quick.
Yeah, good one. Excellent. Where can we get a hold of you, Adam?
You can find me over at maccast.com or Maccast on iTunes, Maccast on pretty much every social media, and also every week on the iOS show at theiosshow.com.
Excellent, mate. Doc, where are you, sir?
You can find me all over the internet at DOCROCK, of course, on this lovely, lovely network. But if you are a fan of Serial, like the old podcast that discussed the case of the two kids in Baltimore and the tragedy that ensued, there is a new version of something like that coming from public radio and a local newspaper here called Civil Beat, and the podcast is called Offshore Hawaii. And it discusses, I don't know if you guys remember this, a couple years back, a federal agent got into a fight in the McDonald's and killed one of the local kids. And it became a thing, you know, kind of like, why was a federal agent packing a gun? Like, is it just a racist thing? Because, you know, the Hawaiians have been heavily oppressed by all sorts of people, including that Captain Cook guy that came from there. So it's a really cool podcast. It's really worth listening into. And I'm one of the talking heads that kind of explains the cultural differences from the outsiders to Hawaii. Even though I've lived here for 30 years, by all definition, I'm still an outsider because I'm not Native Hawaiian. So it's a really cool listen, especially if you like the Serial podcast, and I tell you to check it out.
You're a grockle.
What that word is, explain them.
A grockle's someone who's from outside of Cornwall, isn't it? Is it Devon or Cornwall? A grockle, yeah. Cornwall, I think, yeah. And it doesn't matter how, you could have moved to Cornwall the day after you were born, you're still a grockle.
Nice. That's very similar to Hawaii then. Nice.
And Hoya, where can we get hold of Hoya glasses?
Probably best place, podcast@hoya.co.uk.
And you can follow it at Hoya_UK, can't you, on Twitter? Or is it just Hoya UK?
It's Hoya...
Good question. Put you on the spot.
You put him on the spot. Don't do that. Your guest.
Hoya_UK.
I was right.
Capital See? UK, yeah.
Yeah. There we go. Sorry, boys. I didn't mean to do that. I'll edit. Don't worry. My name's Ewan Rankin. You can get me at Ewan Rankin on Twitter. I don't think it's going to be a Mac show next week, but is the event on the Wednesday or the Thursday? It's the Thursday.
Yes, me.
The event's the Thursday. So
on the 27th.
I think I'm here that day. So I think we'll do a live show and we'll talk over Tim, like we normally do, and get rude emails from people who are fanboys beyond belief.
It would be right before this show next week.
It will be this show. No, we won't do a show afterwards. we'll just talk over Tim and that'll do it. Excellent. We'll see you next week. Thanks for listening.